Good evening, everybody. How is everybody? So how's y'all's week been? Loving this weather? This warm, dry weather? Very dry. Yeah, right. All right, so I wanted to say hello to everybody. I'm sorry I missed last week. Had a family emergency, but I heard great things from last week. Praise the Lord. One thing I want to address is we were told by several students that week two and week three were not up online yet. For some reason, I'm sorry about that, but we're getting that addressed so you can go back, and if you've missed, you can go back and actually do the work. And if you haven't missed, I would recommend going back through and continuing studying and continuing hearing those teachings online. I want to address missed classes. Almost all of you are pretty good. But listen online if you get caught up. If you need to catch up and you need to get credit, go ahead and show your, if you were not here and we were going to give you credit, go ahead and show that to your table host. Make sure that they see that. You're only allowed to miss three classes. Just a reminder, guys, you're allowed to miss three classes. So if you have a work conflict, we'll work with you. Another announcement, we're having another Better Lunch. Our next Better Lunch will be Sunday, March 1st, after second service in the Angelina Room, which is this room. Our focus on these Better Lunches right now is parenting. This is a great opportunity to get some practical resources and tools to equip you to be a better parent this year. If you're interested, you can sign up online or through the app. So we had some homework last week. What did we, so who wants to share from their soap journals? So who wants to share from their soap journals, guys? Hey, guys, I want to encourage y'all, even if y'all are not caught up on the reading or the study, I want y'all to be encouraged. Share whatever you're reading. Share whatever you're studying. I mean, not everybody reads the word the same amount. Not everybody reads through it and blows through it. You're not actually supposed to be blowing through it. It's actually about reading and studying and understanding the true interpretation of the Word of God. And it's also about application. So that's what SOAP is all about. It's not just reading the Word of God, but it's also about the application of it. So, no takers. Maurice, yes.
Probably one thing that I've always thought a lot about is the shortest verse in the Bible where it says Jesus wept.
Yeah.
I have a feeling that he wasn't weeping because Lazarus was dying, probably, or was dead. It was probably because he spent some time bringing him back from the night before.
Well, that's actually a good take on that. That's actually good. What's that? Well, yes, Jesus was very compassionate. He was ultimately compassionate. You got to think he humbled himself, and the word, like in John 1:1, John 1:14, the word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. He became human. He was fully God, but he was also fully human. So he had compassion. But thank you for sharing that, Maurice. Good, and thank you, Stephen, for sharing that as well. How about the memory verse? What was it?
Romans 1:16.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, you
asked
me what it was.
Yeah, you can go and look at your book. Go and look at your book. Fantastic. Give her a round of applause. That's what this is all about, guys. I want to encourage y'all throughout the semester to allow God to stretch y'all It's about your because you know what? We can't stick in our comfort zone. God calls people. You think Moses really? I mean, look at the response that Moses gave to God. He didn't want to do. He didn't. He was. He actually told God, "Can you send somebody else?" I mean, so it's about God calls us to get out of our comfort zones. We can't. And trust me, I know from personal experience, it can be scary. It can be difficult, but trust me, because God is with you, He's calling you to do it. So you're not going to fail at it if God's calling you to do it, guys, right? Right. So, all right, fantastic, guys. Thank y'all for sharing that. Let me ask you a couple of questions real quick before we get started. What have you enjoyed most about this Bible reading study plan? Anybody want to share? Go ahead.
Just like in reading through here, you know, he continues to say, hey, I did not come to condemn.
Mm-hmm.
But then later on, he does say, I think it's in chapter 9, that I have come to judge.
Mm-hmm.
So that was interesting. So I had to look up, well, what's the difference?
Yes.
And so I thought that was interesting to see the slant on that and what he was really saying.
No, that's good. That's real good. Anybody, JC? Exactly. We read the Word of God. We stay in God's Word. This is our food. Jesus told Satan himself, "Man shall not live on bread alone, but on the very word that comes from the mouth of God." So this is our bread. This is what we're supposed to be eating and consuming and applying in our lives on a daily basis. And so that. Thank you, JC, for sharing that. That's awesome. Anybody else? Go ahead. Yeah.
It's made me really look for stuff, and I've shared it with a few people, and they're using it now. And
yeah.
I really enjoyed that.
Well, I'm glad to hear that. That's awesome. Everybody else kind of feel the same way?
I know for me, about this time last year,
yeah.
I had lost my grandmother, but a lot of the stuff I was doing, I didn't really know what it was called.
Mm-hmm.
So I know it's called sober.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay. Yeah, that's good. Joanna. Yeah, we have soap journals for sale for like $5. You need one? If anybody still needs a soap journal, we have them in the back. Get with me after class, okay? All right, so we are on week one, right? No, we are on week four, guys. I mean, time is flying by fast. So I want to introduce tonight's speaker, amazing, wonderful man of God that I love. I'm proud and honored to call a brother in Christ, Pastor Stephen.
Thanks, man. How's everybody doing? You doing good? I love hearing all the different stories of you guys and how it's going studying the Word of God. And I love what you shared right here. Remind me of your first name.
Jim.
I love that, just the fact that you took the time to stop and to look at the two differences between those two things. That's really diving in. That's more than just reading it to read it, right? I mean, I just love that, just hearing everybody else share how they're diving in and how it's affecting them in so many great ways. And so proud of you guys. It's just awesome. And just can't believe it's 4 weeks in. This is week four, right? And it's been awesome. And I hope you guys enjoyed last week. Did you have Justin Lindsay with you last week? Is that right? No, Jolene. Who was it with you?
Justin.
Biscuit, right? Did you enjoy it? He always does a great job, and I love that guy so much. And glad to be back with you guys again this week. And this week we're going to talk about how to know and understand the voice of God. I love this as I prepared for it, just excited about this. And I just love how it all sets up. We talked about prayer in week one, and then we talked about this idea of the soap method. And I encourage you to get that journal. It's so good. It just kind of gets you diving into the Word of God deeper and applying it to our life. And then last week you guys talked about fasting, correct? And so, and then this week we're going to finish up this section. Can't believe that you guys are finishing up the first section of Grow Track 2 by talking about how to know and understand the voice of God. And this comes up in a lot of conversations with people that I have that are, whether they're new in their relationship with the God or with God, or they have been following the Lord for years. It's just, how do I'm praying, I'm reading the Word of God, but how do I really know? How do I understand it, that it's God speaking to me? How do I know His voice, right? And so we're going to dive into that tonight. But let me open up with a word of prayer, pray over you guys, and then we'll get started, okay? Lord, we love you. We thank you for all that you've done so far. Lord God, thank you that these students are just pressing right in, Lord God, week four. Time is going by pretty quick, Lord, but I'm just so thankful for their commitment to be here every Wednesday night, God, and that all the investment that you're, as they're putting an investment in doing the work, Lord God, the homework and the SOAP method and stretching themselves through prayer and through Bible study, God, you're also investing into them. And so, God, I pray that you'd bless them, and God, I pray that tonight our hearts would be open, our minds would be open to what you want to say and what you want to do in our lives as we talk about how to better understand and hear and know your voice, God. We love you, and we thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. Awesome. Everybody good? Everybody warm? No? Everybody's awake? No? Goodness. All right. Well, we're glad you guys are here, and let's jump right in. So most of us are familiar with praying. We talked about prayer in week one. We talked about the SOAP method in week two. We talked about fasting last week. We know and we understand, hopefully now, the importance, right, of talking to God and to spending time with Him. We've talked about the first few weeks, all those different topics. Having a consistent time of worship, of prayer, are so vital, and they're so essential to you, to your growth, to your healthy growth and growing relationship with Jesus Christ. Those things are so vital, so important. The fact is that when we pray, we're spending time with a real, personal God who loves us, and He longs to be close to us. Guys, you're not just praying to a dead God. You're not praying to a theory, to an old story. You're praying to a real God who wants to have a real and powerful relationship with every single one of us. The problem is that when we fail to let God know what we need or want from Him, the problem is not that we fail to let God. How many of we let God know what's going on? We let Him know what we need, right, and what we want from Him. It's that we fail to remember that prayer is a two-way conversation, that it's a two-way conversation between us and between Jesus. A conversation is not one person talking while the other just sits there and listens. Yet that's how many of us treat our prayer time with God. We're so busy, life is just crazy, and we get in the car and we have a few moments, and it's just, we just throw out this prayer, this request and these things to God, and we never allow Him to speak to us because we get so busy. It's not necessarily our intention to make it that way, but we can get so caught up in that. It's like Jeff, go ahead and, if you don't mind, for just 90 seconds, could you just kind of tell me about your day and your week? Could you just kind of tell me about it? Would you be comfortable doing that out loud? Okay, so go ahead.
So my week is Wednesday, so coming off the flu, so I had a long. Why am I doing this exactly?
That's unfortunate. What? You just tell me about your day. So, okay.
So my week started Monday. I had to prepare for jury duty on Tuesday, not looking forward to that. So Monday, I had to do as much work as I could.
Did you have a good day?
Good.
Whose birthday? Oh, okay. Gotcha.
Yeah.
How are you? Good, good. That's really unfortunate. Oh, you were excited. Okay. That's great. You did good. Everybody give Jeff a hand. Did you really have to go to jury duty? Did you really have to go to jury duty, or are you just making all that up? Okay. How did you feel when I'm like checking my phone and I'm not making eye contact with you and I like, yeah, right. I'm sorry. I really do care, Jeff. I love you. I do. I really do. I was trying to do this as an illustration. I was actually at the, anybody here at the money and marriage thing Friday night? Yeah. And they did that as an illustration, and it was more about marriage and about, you know, how many of us have done that to our spouse. I hope it wasn't that bad. They did that illustration. I thought about that as I was preparing for this. And sometimes what I just did to Jeff is sometimes how we treat God, and we don't intend to, but it's kind of like we wake up, we get in the car, like I was saying, and it's just, we just throw out this flash of just, God, I need you today. I got a really rough day. I got jury duty today. God, just I need your help. But we never stop to listen, to communicate, to just actually sit still for a moment. It's a two-way conversation, guys. I mean, this is not just something we do it. It's actually because we have a loving Heavenly Father who is real and wants to have relationship with us. He actually wants to say stuff to us. He actually, not only does he want to answer our prayers, not only does he want to be involved in our life, he wants to speak to us. He's got things to tell us, right? But the question is how do we slow down, and how do we know and understand the voice of God? So Jeff, thank you for being a good sport, man. Appreciate it. Many believers know how to pray, but few know how to recognize, this is in your notes, few know how to recognize and listen to the voice of God. If we never stop, guys, and we never slow down, and we never practice this idea of actually learning to listen to him, learning to understand his voice and know his voice, we'll never hear it. We'll never understand it, right? We get in this place where we don't know how to recognize and listen to the voice of God. In order to have a real conversation and a deeper relationship with God, we must give him time to talk. We've got to slow down in order to hear and to understand him. And that's hard in our world today. Anybody else? I'll be real. I've got three kids, and life is just busy, you know, and it's hard to just slow down and do that. To respond to all that we are saying and asking him to do in our lives, in our hearts, in our lives, to share his heart and his desires with us. He values that. He wants that. He wants to share his desires and his heart with us, but we've got to stop and know his voice and understand his voice. I think about the example of Elijah in 1 Kings chapter 19. I love Elijah. He's probably my favorite Bible character, mainly because he's this great prophet, man of God, but yet he was human just like we were. And he was at the top of the mountain sometimes, and sometimes he was at the lowest of low, so depressed, right after a great victory, standing down the prophets of Baal, God winning that great victory through him. And then the very next chapter, you read him running for his life from the very people he stood up against Jezebel, right? And it's a couple chapters later that he kind of comes out of hiding. God gets him out, and God does this incredible thing where he comes out of this cave, and there's a great earthquake, but God wasn't in the earthquake, right? There was a great fire, but God wasn't in the fire. What was God in? Anybody know? In the what? No, not in the flood. Nuh-uh. He was in a great whisper, right? He wasn't in a flood. He wasn't in an earthquake. And the whole point of it is it was just a gentle whisper. And so sometimes we've got to slow down. We've got to learn to slow down so we can recognize and hear his voice and hear his gentle whisper to us in our life. So how do we listen for God's voice? How do we know if what or who we hear, right, is truly God and not some bad pizza we ate the night before, right, or something else or someone else? And so let's jump to this next section. Does God really talk to us today? And I got the answer for you. It's yes. He really does speak to us, guys. And there's some great scriptures right there. There's many throughout the Bible, but here's a couple for us. John 10:27, my sheep hear my voice. Who are the sheep? Right here, right? Stinky old sheep, right? We're a mess. And the sheep hear our shepherd. Our shepherd is God, is Jesus. The sheep hear my voice. And I know them, and they follow me, right? We need to know his voice. Jeremiah 33:3, call to me, and I will answer you, right? That's comforting, right? That we can call to him. He's going to answer. And I will show you great and mighty things, fenced in and hidden, which you do not know, do not distinguish and recognize, have knowledge of, or understand. Isaiah 30:21, and your ears will hear a word behind you saying, this is the way, walk in it. when you turn to the right hand, and when you turn to the left. I'm thankful for that, because I don't know about you, but I need guidance. I need direction in life. As a parent, as a husband, as a leader of my home, I need to know that he's behind me speaking and that I can recognize his voice so I can go the right direction and lead my family, lead my kids, lead my home. Why don't more Christians, believers in God, hear from God? Well, here's a couple things. Number one, many Christians don't actually talk to God, right, as much as they think they do, right, in our busy, crazy, distracted world today. Instead, they are quick to talk to others about him, right, and about their problems. It always amazes me how often we will go to others, and we will go to other sources, and we'll do all of that before we ever go to God. Right? I've been guilty of that before. All right? Problems come, panic sets in, situations happen, and if we're not careful, before we even know it, we've tried to figure it out and fix it. Men in the room, we're fixers, right? We're going to try to fix it ourselves. We're going to try to figure it out. We may go to other sources, other people, when really God wants us to come to him first, right? Right? And however, they don't ever stop and listen to what he may have to say in response to the request. So that's number two. I'm looking at that and not this. Going back to point number one, therefore, no message is ever sent to God on their behalf because we try to do things in our own strength. Does that make sense? It's a lot of times we're just, it might not be our intention, but we'll try to figure it out on our own. We'll go to other sources. We'll go to other people. When God just wants us to come straight to him, recognize his voice right away at the very beginning. Number two, others are great at talking to God about all kinds of things, especially their problems. However, they don't ever stop and listen to what he may have to say in response to their questions and complaints. Why do we do that? Anybody? Why do we do that? You guys are quiet tonight. Yeah. Yeah, true. Very true. It's easier to get a response from someone, a coworker, somebody right there, than someone we can't see, right? Yeah. That's right. Yeah. Some of us don't want to be still, do we? Yeah. Yeah.
But that's not the way he operates. And so a lot of times it goes back to sometimes there's work for us, things for us to do. So we have to take that time to be able to hear what God is telling us, what our part is, what we need to do.
Absolutely. That's so true. And we're going to talk more about that tonight, you know. Sometimes the answer is not right away. Sometimes the answer is not what we want. anybody ever experienced that before, right? We are so busy. We're so distracted. And we also want a quick answer. We're not patient. I'm reading my own mail here tonight. You know, there's just times when I'm just not patient like I should be. How many of you men have selective hearing? I'm going to raise my hand, right? We do that not just with our spouses. We do that with God sometimes. And God, I think sometimes like, dude, Stephen, I told you. And I'm like, no, you didn't. And I'm like, no, I did. You only heard this part. You selectively heard this, the good stuff over here. You didn't hear the thing I really wanted you to hear, right? And so, number three, then there are some who talk to God all the time and even try to listen to his voice. However, they incorrectly interpret what he's saying, which gets them in some potential problems and some sticky situations. I think even sometimes people get an answer, they hear his voice, however they incorrectly interpret, right? And we're going to talk about that a little bit too. Like, how do we keep from doing that? Because when God shares something, shows me something, I want to make sure that I'm interpreting it the right way and learning the right things from it and applying it to my life correctly. How God speaks to us. I love this quote by Joyce Meyer. It says, God declares that he speaks. And when he does, he speaks in righteousness, right? We can always depend on what he says to be right, right? Some of you have trouble trusting. We just do, right? For whatever reason, right? Someone close to you, somebody that wasn't supposed to ever break trust with you, broke trust with you. And I'm here to tell you tonight, Grow Track 2 students, that you're growing, and as you're pushing into knowing God more and more and growing in your relationship with Him, He can be trusted. He's always right. I'm telling you, right? Now, it might not be what you want to hear. It might be tough to swallow sometimes, right? But it's still right. It's still correct. You can always count on that with God. Amen? All right. Well, what we're going to do, you guys are going to have some group work tonight at this moment. What we're going to do is at your tables with your table host, you're going to look up 1 Samuel chapter 3, verses 2 through 14. And we want you guys to read it as a group and take about 10 minutes or so. And there's 5 questions there that I would love for you to work together. And just, it's going to be good for you guys to kind of hear your answers together on these questions and kind of your different feedback on it. But let's take a few minutes to do that, and then we'll come back, go through the answers a little bit, and move forward on our teaching. Sound good? All right, guys. Let's come back together real quick. I love hearing all the talking and just hearing you guys talk about the questions and all that kind of stuff. And so what did we find out here? Why don't we go through this? 1 Samuel chapter 3, verse 2 through 14. Number one, to whom did God speak in the passage? Who was He speaking to? That's right, Samuel. Did Samuel know God at that time? Like, no, he didn't. So that tells us what? That God can speak to anybody, right? Which is cool. Number two, how did God speak to the individual or individuals? Audible. Yeah. Yes, sir.
Well, we said audible voice, but one thing we didn't catch when we were reading that she brought to our attention that He came and stood before Him.
It never says that Eli, is it Eli? Or no, Samuel. Or what's his name? Yeah, I gotcha. And the one thing I noticed earlier when I was reading it, I'm just forgetting what's his name, not Samuel, but the other, Eli. When he comes to Eli, it's interesting. I don't think it really says whether Eli heard it, right? So maybe it wasn't audible, maybe it was audible. But either way, God was speaking to him, right? Yeah. It could have been. Yeah, it could have been, right? What was their response to what he said? Yeah? Yeah, absolutely. How does God use that specific method to speak to us today? Through others, yeah. Through Scripture, yeah. Yeah, and we're going to talk about a lot of these things here in just a second.
Something else that I had noticed that we brought up was that how often He had to repeat Samuel, and so often He has to repeat with us.
Yes.
When we
yeah, absolutely, absolutely. Right. Yeah, yeah.
I think Eli's response kind of indicated he was kind of nonchalant almost, or accepting, but I just wonder if he was even open to hear God.
Who, Samuel or Eli?
Eli.
Yeah, I think that after a while he realized, wait a second, maybe God is speaking to this guy. Next time you hear that voice, this is what you need to say. This is how you need to respond, right? Yeah. Yeah.
He was also speaking to Eli as well.
Yeah. I'm just thankful too that I'm like a lot of people where God may speak to me 2 or 3 times and I don't get it. And then finally I'm thankful that I use an outside source, another person to say, hey, I'm trying to get a hold of you. I'm trying to speak to you, right? How many of you are thankful for that as well? Number 5, what can interfere with our ability to hear God when He uses this method? Yeah.
Pride.
Yeah. Ignorance. Yes, absolutely. I think there's a massive long list of reasons why, right? Well, that's good, good guys. Well, let's jump into the next page here, and we're gonna. I just got a list for you here of different ways. Yeah.
I'm sorry, can I say one more thing?
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, just a big responsibility, right? Absolutely, absolutely. Well, let's jump into how God speaks to us. We've got, like, quite a few here. And number one, he speaks to us through his word, right? That's why you hear us pushing through Grow Track 1, Grow Track 2, Grow Track 3. We want to get you guys into the word of God. And we don't want you to just read it. We want you to study it. We want you to use the SOAP method. We want you to apply it, because God will begin to, number one, the first one that should be on this list is through his word. He speaks to us through the Bible. 2 Timothy 3:16 through 17, all scripture is God-breathed. Guys, this is not just a history book. This is God-breathed. Isn't that cool? I mean, that, to me, that's exciting to know that this is the very word of God and that it's God-breathed, right? And it's useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness so that the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. 2 Kings 22, we see this example of Josiah, King Josiah. Josiah was the last of the righteous kings of Judah in the Old Testament, right? And at 16 years of age, right, just a young teenage guy, he began to passionately pursue a relationship with God and understand God's plans for his life, for his people. And 4 years later, he got rid of any ungodly worship in Judah. Right? 4 years later. And as the temple was being repaired, this is how bad it had gotten, they found the book of the law written by Moses. It had been in there. Nobody was reading it. Nobody was using it, right? And through that, we see that King Josiah, the book of the law was found, and after having read it out loud, Josiah calls the people to repentance and realignment with the word of God, right? And so God speaks to us through his word. When God speaks, right? What he says will never, guys, never contradict or disagree with the written word, the Bible. Can I tell you that? So when God speaks to you, just know that he's never going to contradict what he said to you in his word. So if you hear something and you're wondering if it's God, but it's not in the Bible and it's contradictory to what the Bible tells us, then it's not God. Make sense? Does that help us a little bit? Number two, he speaks to us through knowledge and understanding of his character. Deuteronomy chapter 32, verses 3 through 4. For I proclaim the name of the Lord, ascribe greatness to our God. He is the rock, his work is perfect. For all his ways are justice, and a God of truth, and without injustice, righteous and upright is he. We find another example, Exodus chapter 34, 5 through 7. As the Lord passes by Moses here, on the mountain, he proclaims his attributes, his character, his nature. How many of you knew that God has attributes? Because he's real, right? He's got this character to him. I put these in my notes just to, I won't go into all of them, but God is infinite. He's self-sufficient. He's merciful. The Bible, if we truly believe he's God and who he says he is, which I believe most of us in this room believe that he is, right? Then he's all-powerful, which means he's omnipotent, right? He's omniscient. He's all-knowing. He's omnipresent. He's everywhere, always, right? He's always everywhere, right? He's wise, he's faithful, he's good, he's just, and he speaks to us through his attributes, his goodness to us, right? Through his, he's with us always, right? And so through his mercy, through his justice, right? And so these attributes, these character, they speak to us of who God is, okay? Number three, he speaks to us through guidance and counsel from Christian leadership. So thankful for this one. I'm so thankful for the people that God has put in my life from the time I was a little boy till still now today. I'm thankful for the right people. Now, let me say, the right people, right? We all of us in this room need godly people in our life who God can speak to us through them. Amen? You know, whether it was grandparents in my life that spoke to me, right? Whether it was, you know, Sunday school teachers back when we had Sunday school, right? Whether it was a youth pastor in my life who spoke into me. Whether it was Bible college professors. Whether it's man, it's been my wife that he spoke through into my life. And now Pastor Talia, Pastor Jeremy, and people, God is going to use people in Christian leadership in your life. Get around them, guys. Get around them and get to know them and allow God to speak to you through those individuals. That's so huge, so important. Proverbs 15:22, where there is no counsel, purposes are disappointed. But in the multitude of counselors, they are established. Who are these counselors? They're people like we're talking about. They're the right people, okay? If you don't have those kind of people in your life, pray about it. I really mean that. As you're going through Grow Track 2, just say, God, you know, I need these kind of people in my life. Would you give me a mentor in my life, a godly father, mother figure, so to speak? And they may not have to be older than you, but just someone who's grown in their relationship and that you trust and that God would bring them into your life so they can speak counsel and truth into your life, because it's truly God a lot of times that's speaking through them, okay? We see some examples there in your notes in 1 Kings 12, 1 Samuel 9, King Rehoboam, and Saul seeks Samuel's advice. Number four, we can also listen to God's voice by observing the activity of God. And what we mean by this is just look around at what is God doing in you? What is God doing in others? Look at the activity around you. I know I'm a pastor here, but if I wasn't a pastor and I lived in Lufkin, Texas, and I just worked somewhere, I would attend this church. Why? Because the activity of God is happening in this church. You know, just seeing the life change, seeing the people that, seeing you in this room tonight, guys. This is, you are the activity of God. What God is doing in you and through you in your life, right? He speaks to us through the activity of God. Right? Acts chapter 13, 1 through 3, and again in Acts chapter 16, we see the Holy Spirit directed the leaders to set Paul and Barnabas apart for the work to which he had called them to do. There was this activity of God, and God speaks through that activity, okay? Number five, I think we got the notes mixed up, so if I need to slow down, just tell me. But number five is the peace of the Holy Spirit. God will speak to you. He'll speak to us through the peace of the Holy Spirit. This one's really important, too. They're all important, but this one really just sticks out to me. Colossians chapter 3, verse 15 says, "And let the peace from Christ rule." And I love this in parentheses from this version. It says, "Act as umpire continually," right? I love that. "From Christ rule in our hearts. And as to which as one body you were called, and be thankful, giving praise God to God always," right? We need the Holy Spirit. We need the peace of the Holy Spirit. He wants to speak to us and through us in our lives, right? I think about, we need to learn to practice discernment. What does discernment mean? Anybody? To practice and learn discernment. Yeah, to be able to tell the difference between two things. That's one way to put it, yeah. To the ability to judge well between two things, right? To have discernment. And I bring that up because the Holy Spirit helps us discern on things. We're trying to make a decision, and we need the Lord to speak to us on, I need to be doing this, or I need to go this direction. Do I need to be doing that? Do I need to be doing this? And we need the Holy Spirit to give us peace and have the discernment on which direction to go in our life. God often communicates by nudging our hearts to follow where he's leading, right? But because emotions can mislead us, anybody know what I'm talking about, right? Emotions can totally mislead us, right? We're emotional people, and they can mislead us. We need discernment. We need the peace of God, the peace of the Holy Spirit. And we need discernment to determine the difference between God's prompting and what's just our own feelings, right? We're people with emotions, and we have feelings, right? Anybody ever do any personality tests before? Mine always comes back, I'm a big feeler. I feel everything, right? I can walk in the room and I feel this person's upset and that, you know, this is going on over there, right? We're just beings with feelings, but our feelings can lie to us sometimes, and we need the peace of the Holy Spirit to help us discern things. Ask the Holy Spirit to direct you and give you discernment and wisdom as you walk with him every single day, right? Okay, number six, y'all still with me? Any missing any notes? Number six. He speaks to us through wisdom. We all need wisdom, right? James chapter 1, verses 5 through 8. If any of you lacks wisdom, you should ask God. That's simple. We need wisdom. We need to ask the Lord for it, right? Who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to you. But when you ask, you must believe and not doubt, because the one who doubts is like a wave of the sea, blown and tossed by the wind. That person should not expect to receive anything from the Lord. Such a person is double-minded and unstable in all they do. Man, we need wisdom in our world. We need wisdom in our daily life and decisions, right? We need wisdom. You look at Genesis chapter 47, verses 13 through 27. Pharaoh and Joseph's plan to save grain for 7 years before the famine came displayed such great wisdom. They asked the Lord for it, and he gave it to them, right? Some of us are faced with some big decisions right now. Anybody? Right? And we just need wisdom. And I love that verse. If any of you lacks it, just ask for it. God wants to give us wisdom. Just use wisdom. Wisdom helps us to avoid stupid pain. I love that, right? I don't want any stupid pain. I don't want any wasted pain, right? And I just want the wisdom of the Lord to speak to me in certain situations and decisions that I've got to make. Y'all still with me? All right. Number 7 is supernatural intervention. Man, sometimes God shows up and speaks through just supernatural intervention. Maybe there's some cool stories in here we can hear at some point where maybe God did that in your life. But in Acts chapter 8, verses 26 through 29, now an angel of the Lord said to Philip, go south to the road, the desert road that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza. So he started out, and on his way he met an Ethiopian eunuch, an important official in charge of all the treasury. And this man had gone to Jerusalem to worship, and on his way home was sitting in his chariot reading a book of Isaiah the prophet. The Spirit told Philip, go to that chariot and stay near it. And so we see this example of a supernatural intervention, and sometimes God does this. Sometimes God shows up supernaturally in our life. We talked about fasting last week. You know, I know just recently at the start of the year, I was faced, anybody ever in your workplace, you had to be faced with a tough decision that you had to make, you know, a tough decision, maybe a hard conversation that you had to have. I had to have a hard conversation. And when we started the year with 21 days of prayer and fasting, that was something that I began to fast about. It was a tough, tough conversation that I knew I was going to have to have, right? And so, I'd put the conversation off, and that was good wisdom that somebody spoke to me. Don't do that now. Why don't you give it a little time? So I waited, and then it came to that day, and I remember literally an hour before I was supposed to have this meeting, that person came to me, and they had decided to do something else instead of me having to tell them, don't do this, right? You know what I'm talking about? And so I just appreciate the fact that when we fast and we cry out to God, that he helps us and he can supernaturally show up and do things like that in our life. Can I tell you a funny story where God just showed up, I believe, supernaturally for me? I told you that I went to France for 2 years as a missionary. I had been in France maybe a month, and our lead pastor of the church, the Bridge Church, who speaks well in French, he'd been in Europe for years. I was new. I'd only been there 4 months. You know, Southeast Texas kid with an accent. I don't know any French, okay, yet. I know, like, bonjour, and that's about it. And he comes up to me, and he says, hey, I need you to do something for me on Saturday. He says, it's really exciting. I'm like, okay, all right. He says, we're going to fly you from Paris to Madrid, Spain, because there's another missionary down in Spain that has given our church a vehicle. It's called a Toyota Picnic. You ever heard of that? It's a little SUV. I didn't know what it was. And I'm like, okay, all right. And he goes, we're going to fly you to Madrid, and you're going to take a taxi from the Madrid airport to this missionary's house, which is 45 minutes away, and you're going to get it, and you're going to drive it back to Paris, which is a 13-hour drive. And I'm like, okay. I said, Robbie, just don't forget, I don't know French, man. And if you didn't know it, I also don't know Spanish. So just, You know, is this going to be all right? He's like, you're going to do it. He goes, just think about it, man. You're going to be like the bridge transporter, like the movie The Transporter. I'm like, okay, whatever. And so I get on a flight early in the morning in Paris, and I fly to Madrid, Spain. I literally wrote on a piece of paper in Spanish, please take me to this address. I'm putting my life in the hands of a taxi driver that I've never met in Madrid, Spain. I mean, the guy could have drove off and killed me for all I know. But I get there, and I get out of the airport, and I wave down a taxi, and I just pull this card out, and I'm like, here, and I didn't know Spanish, so I'm just like, I just give him this card, and he just kind of looks at me, and he goes, okay, you know, and so I get in the car, trusting this person I've never met. He drives me to the missionary's house, and so they're Americans, and so I get in, she's like, hi, it's nice to meet you. She just hands me the keys, and she's like, good luck, and so I had a GPS, thank goodness, and so I begin to drive from Spain back to Paris, France, and again, it's a 13-hour drive. Thank the Lord there was a McDonald's along the way, because even in another language, we can speak some McDonald's, right? And so I was able to get some McDonald's, get back on the road. Well, when I get to the border, and it was beautiful, but when I get to Spain and the border of Spain and France, the Spanish police are stopping every single car at the border. Like, there's a long line of traffic. And as I start going through the line, I start thinking, I'm an American. I don't speak French. I don't speak Spanish. They're stopping everybody. I can't communicate with these guys. Somebody has given me a car. This is not looking good. Like, how am I going to explain this? This is not working out. And so I start getting really nervous. I just start to pray. And honestly, I began to pray in the spirit, honestly. I was like, God, you're going to have to help me through this. And so I get up there, and they're stopping every single car, and they don't look happy. There's a soldier, and they're soldiers. They're not police. They're like military. And they stop every car. They get up. They start talking to them. And the car in front of me begins to go, and then the two soldiers look at each other, and they're saying something to each other, and the guy just keeps looking back at me, and he goes, and he lets me go, and then they stop the very next car. And so I was like, woo! It's like, thank you, Lord, for supernaturally intervening today and saving me from having to explain why I'm an American. I got a passport, but somebody's given me a car that they probably think I would have stolen out of Spain and trying to go across to another country with. And so I know that's funny, but guys, just know that we serve a supernatural God that shows up big. And maybe you've got incredible stories, too, that where God showed up even bigger than that and did some supernatural thing. He speaks to us that way. Amen? Number eight is dreams. He actually speaks to us through dreams. Joel chapter 2, verses 28 through 29, a familiar verse to maybe some of you. It says, and afterward, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and your daughters will prophesy. And it says, your old men will dream dreams. Your young men will see visions, right? So dreams, God can speak to us through dreams. And I'm not talking about just I have a dream to dunk a basketball one day, which is never going to happen, by the way. I'm 41. I'm still can't do it. It's not going to happen. But I'm talking about dreams, right? What's that? There we go, man. That's it. That's it. I can finally do it. But I'm talking about dreams, like literal dreams that God wants to speak through that dream for you to speak to someone else, to encourage someone else, or a calling that he has on your life, or something that he wants to do in and through your life, spoken through a dream. We look at Genesis chapter 37. You read about Joseph's dreams. I've been throwing a lot of scripture at you guys. They're here in your notes. I would just encourage you this week to go back through your notes, read all these stories. There's a lot of content here that I'm trying to throw at you, but really, read through these scriptures. Read through these stories, and it'll make more sense of how God speaks to us through these different ways. Genesis chapter 28, we read about Jacob's ladder. But here's the litmus test for knowing if a dream might be from God or not. Y'all ready? It's test the fruit of it. Just test the fruit. If it's God's fruit, you're going to know, right? If it's selfish, if it's selfish motives, you're going to begin to smell that rotten fruit, right? And so just know that God speaks to us through dreams, okay? Number nine is visions. We just read that verse. I won't read it again, but in Joel chapter 2, right after it said, old men will dream dreams, your young men will see visions. Acts chapter 10, verses 1 through 22, we find this guy named Cornelius. He's visited by an angel, and Peter has a vision from God. God can give you visions. He can give us visions, and he speaks to us through that way. Can I say this about visions? Sometimes when God speaks through a vision that he gives you, he may bring it to better understanding and completion years later. Okay, did you hear that? That's so true. I want to share another story with you guys where God, when I was 17 years old, My mother was going through a difficult time. If you were in Encounter Sunday night, you heard me kind of share about that situation. But my mom was going through a really tough time. And there was another church near Beaumont. And there was a guy that was kind of a counselor, and he, my mom went to visit the guy, and I went with my mom that day. He was a really godly man, and he was a great guy, and he began to pray over my mother. And I just happened to be there, and he began to pray over me. I was called to the ministry when I was 13 years old. And he prayed over me, and I had never really experienced like a vision or anything. But that day when that gentleman was praying over me, I feel like the Lord kind of gave me a picture, a vision of basically a big field full of people. And it was almost like an outside church service. There was a stage, and there was a lot of people just worshiping the Lord, and it was outside. And I had the view of the stage from the back of the stage. I wasn't like up front on the stage. I was in the back of the stage. And so that was it. And I remember going from there and going into Bible college. I wanted to be a youth pastor, and I thought, well, does that mean I'm supposed to talk to a bunch of teenagers one day? I don't know. And I remember thinking about this. That was when I was 17. Well, just 3 years ago, this is crazy, Pastor Jeremy came back from Africa like 3 or 4 years ago. He got the opportunity to go with some other pastors and speak to pastors and do some training for pastors over there. While he was there, he got the opportunity to speak to a ton of pastors. And he began to share with our staff, and he began to cry, and he talked about how God had given him a vision when he was a teenager of how he would speak one day on an outside stage to a sea of, to him, it was dark faces. He was in Africa, and he begins to cry and talk about this. And as he's telling and setting up this whole story and the vision that God had given, I start to just get really nervous and chill. I'm like, this sounds really familiar to my own vision. And as I've gone through ministry, guys, like one thing I've realized now that I'm 41, I have a real heart for ministry, but my biggest heart is for people in ministry. My heart is to uplift and hold up the arms of people that are in ministry. I love people, but man, my heart is drawn to the pastor, drawn to missionaries. I've had an experience to be a youth pastor, a missionary, a senior pastor, an associate pastor, executive pastor, and it just makes my heart more. I just love people in ministry, and I want to lift up their arms. And on that day, let's see, I'm 41, so almost like 20 years later, all of a sudden that vision became real. And I never understood why I was on the back of the stage, but when I heard Pastor Jeremy tell this story, I realized that the reason I was on the back of the stage is because I'm called to the man at the front of the stage. And that vision, after 20-plus years, came to fruition and came real in my life and just gave me so much peace and so much excitement to know that that wasn't something I just thought up when I was 17 years of age. God brought it to fruition all those years later, that it's my calling is not to be the guy at the front of the stage, but to lift up the Pastor Jeremy's of the world. And that's why I love my position working with a Pastor Talia and a Pastor Jeremy and the rest of the team that I get to work with. And so I say that to say God gives visions, but just don't get discouraged if he's given you a vision and you still haven't figured out why or what the true reason for that vision is. Because for me, it was 20 years later, and it's helped me understand that, no, I'm not called necessarily to be the guy at the front of the stage. My calling is to lift up their arms and support them and encourage them and love them and do everything I can to help them. Make sense to you guys? So remember that about visions, okay? Number 10, the last one here. He speaks to us through an audible voice, right? An audible voice. I've never heard an audible voice from the Lord. I would love to. One day I will, right? We all will get to. But he does, you know. I would desire that. But we, again, what you read tonight, you studied it. You listened to, and now we talked about, was it truly audible and stuff, you know. But he speaks in an audible voice. And Samuel says here, he hears an audible voice calling his name after going to Eli twice. Eli recognizes and helps Samuel recognize that this was God speaking to him. I love Acts chapter 9, and you look at when Saul became Paul, and Saul hears the voice of Jesus on the road to Damascus. Again, someone who doesn't know God, in fact, hates God, hates Christians, persecuted Christians, and God gets his attention in a big way through an audible voice and gets a hold of his life. And so God does speak to us in many different ways. We can know and understand God's voice. He speaks to us in a lot of different ways. This is important to remember. This is in your notes. When God speaks, what he says will never contradict. We said this earlier. It will never contradict or disagree with his written word. We said that earlier. We say it again. It's so important, guys. It's never going to contradict or disagree with the written word, the Bible. okay? Real quick, just to finish up here, guys, make sure, what do you do after you hear from God? Okay, what do we do after we hear from God? Number one, make sure you understand what God is saying. You got to make sure that you understand what God's saying. You know, when I was 17 and I felt like the Lord spoke to me, I didn't know what that meant. And I didn't know till 20 years later, right? But you look at all these different examples. Gideon asked for a sign from God. David consults the Lord before going into battle, right? You need to understand what God is saying. You need to understand what God's saying to you and through you. Number two, get biblical confirmation. When God speaks to you, look at the Word of God. Study the Word of God. Again, that's so important. That's why we're trying to get you guys, get you into the Word of God every single day so that you can go for that biblical confirmation. Number three, apply God's counsel, wisdom, and instruction to your life, right? Once he's spoken to you, begin to apply the counsel, the wisdom, the instruction to your life, right? He's spoken to you, now begin to apply it, all right? Sometimes it's things that are scary. Sometimes it's things that don't make a lot of sense. And we've got to ask the Lord. We've got to begin to obviously get that biblical confirmation, but begin to apply it with wisdom, with the counsel of other people in our lives. Number four, obey what the Lord says to do or not to do. God can speak to us, but we still got to do it. We got to obey, right? We've got to obey. I shared with you guys a couple weeks ago when God called me to France. That was just the weirdest out of left field kind of thing. I never thought I would ever do that. But I just knew as it continued to develop and we continued to hear God's voice, again, not audible voice, but through his word, through confirmation of just prayer and in different ways, we knew we had to obey. So it's so important when God speaks, obey. Guys, he's going to take care of you. You can trust him, right? If you've realized it's truly from God, you've sought that counsel, it might be scary, but trust the Lord and obey. He's going to take care of you. And number five, write down what God says. What happened when you obeyed? And put a date next to it. I think it's so important. I know some people, when I say get a journal, a lot of men are like, I don't journal. No, but this is what I love about a journal is like, man, when you begin to pray for something specifically, or you believe God spoke to you about something, and you write it down to remember it. I love the notes in my iPhone. I love to just sit down every once in a while and go back through my notes from the last few years and see what I wrote on this day in September 2 years ago when I was struggling with this, and then to go in there and say, wow, God answered that. Oh, this is why I was going through that, because God was preparing me for this, or he was preparing me for that, or he was preparing my kids for this. It's so neat to journal those things. So, man, when God speaks, get record of it. Write it down and remember what God spoke and what God said. All right, guys, I'm going to turn it back over to James here and enjoyed hanging out with you guys tonight.
Thank you, Pastor Stephen. I look around this room and I see the amazing growth that God has brought into this room, and I'm so proud of you guys for all the doing the soap, doing the exercises, the group work. So it's been an amazing semester. Real quick, we want to be good stewards of your time. We're going to be able to, by the way, I apologize. We had technical difficulties. If you missed anything, get with your table host. They will be able to help you fill it out. Using your journal or hearing from God exercise in the resources section. It's in the back. Divide a sheet of paper into two columns and label them my prayer, question for God, and God's reply. We want to take you to take time this week and put that into practice, everybody. Then in the designated column, write your top three prayer requests or questions for God. Put the date of the day. You write each one down. Then when God speaks to you and answers your questions or questions, write down his what he's telling you in the second column. Put in the date next to these, the responses as well. Be sure to share what God has done in your life as a result of asking and talking to God and listening to his voice. That's Appendix C in the back, hearing from God exercise. For soap next week, I love the responses and the interaction tonight. It's going to be John chapter 16 through 20. We're almost done with the gospel according to John. We only got one more chapter after that. Then we're getting in the book of Romans. And speaking of Romans, we have the memory scripture verse for this week. Very simple. Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. So I encourage y'all to work on that this week. If y'all got any questions, please email me or any of the or let your table host know. Are y'all getting my emails that I'm sending? Great. Awesome. Well, let's pray us out, and I'll release you guys. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for your word. We thank you, God, that not only can we come to you in prayer, but we also get to listen to your voice. We get to hear you, Lord, speaking to us, speaking to our lives, speaking what you want us to do, Lord. And, Lord, we thank you for that. And there's different ways, but it all comes back to your word, Lord. Let us stay strong in your word and the truth of your word, because there's by no other way we can measure your voice but by your word, God, what you've written down through the prophets and the apostles. Lord, we thank you. We thank you for all this abundance in this class and all the students and the team. Lord, I thank you for the pastors and the teachers, God. Lord, I pray for you to go with each and every person this week and throughout the semester, God, and help protect them from the devices of the enemy. Help them keep straight in their work. Help guide them through their prayers and whatever requests that they have, Lord. Lord, we thank you, Lord, and we want to pray for those who are not among us, Lord, for their health, for whatever's going on in their lives, Lord. We ask this in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Love you guys. If you need a journal, please see Kelly in the back. She'll get you a journal.